Welcome to Ask My Mice.
Love you and I, cause I love you so much. Oh, 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 I just love you. I just like help, help. I just like help. I just like you too. I just like you. I just love you. Happy New Year, I love you, say goodbye. You're going to school, and that's okay. Yum, 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 I just love you.
Welcome to Optimize My Life, which is sponsored by the Hope Collection. And today's show is called No Limits. There is nothing that is out of bounds. You want to talk about something and just afraid to say it out loud, or something that's really bothering you that you need to talk about? That's what this is for. Optimize My Life was started, and the legacy continues to empower and give you the tools to help yourself, to help others. We are sponsored by the Hope Collection, a non-for-profit organization that stands for helping other people every day. Optimize My Life talk show each day airs Monday through Friday at noon Eastern Time, 11 Central. And the call-in number is 714-816-4686. Joel Griffin started the Hope Collection and Optimize My Show to empower people, to give you the tools to help others, to help others. And Optimize My Show, being sponsored, has 8 areas and programs in these 8 areas to help in faith, family, food, housing, wellness, energy, arts, and education. With a slogan of helping others, help others. You look at the situation and you say, you know, there's 8 things. That basically covers everything I need in my life. And having this slogan about helping others, it sounds pretty synergetic. And you're right. Our goal is to optimize your life and to optimize everybody else's lives. Our goal is, with freedom, there's freedom. And giving you having the hope gives you the freedom to live the life you want. We want to help improve the quality of life across the board for you, your families, your extended families, your communities, the regions, across the country, and across the nation. When you approach life like this, it's pretty simple when you think about it. The cycle of appreciation is approaching life in a viewpoint of living in that moment and helping somebody else, and not what you can get out of it. With the pay it forward kind of approach, it makes it so much easier. You're not playing catch up in life. And then everything begins. You hear my son, who's having an issue. When you have these issues and you have these problems in life, hope gives you the direction you need to keep going with it.
Can I help you?
Sorry about that. Give me 2 minutes. Stop. Just give me 1 minute, David. Sorry about that. We had some technical difficulties. So today's show, No Bounds, is all about things you want to talk about and what's off limits, there's no off limits. And one of the topics we're going to talk about today, with it being the holiday season, is Santa Claus. So everything is so highly debated right now, and, you know, there's a bunch of surveys going on. We call it lying, or people look at it as lying. And is it good to tell your kids about Santa? Or do you tell them the truth about Santa? In our household, we believe in Santa Claus. Because it's not... You know, in this day and age, kids don't have an imagination anymore. It's all about electronics and this and this and this. And believing in Santa Claus, in my eyes, in my opinions, this is my personal opinions, is all about the imagination, the spirit of the holiday season. And granted, yes, it's great for, as a tool for a parent to get your kids to behave and use that, well, you know, I'm going to tell Santa if you don't knock it off, or, you know, you remember what happens when you're naughty. Hello.
Hi, Mary. How are you?
Good. How about you?
I'm good.
This is Bob.
I thought I would dial in today and see how things were going.
It's going. He does the Thursday show, and it's all about family. Today is all about Santa Claus. Is it a lie
yeah.
to tell your kids about Santa Claus? Is it bad to lie to your kids about Santa Claus? It's a big thing on social media right now. My kids all believe in Santa Claus because originally Santa Claus was a real person who did the thing that blew up to what it is now. He built toys and gave money and helped people.
Yeah, I believe in Santa Claus.
You know, and it's a good
tool. You know, I believe it's a tradition that it helps kids to understand a little bit about giving and family and the fact that I think it's a little overblown commercially, but I think it's part of the tradition. But I think it's taken away from some of the real meaning of Christmas, you know? And that's where I have an issue with it, even though I think it's been good for my kids to think about Santa Claus every year and giving to each other and so forth, you know.
You know, one thing about Santa Claus, it helps boost that imagination. Like in our, you know, like you said, yeah, Christmas tends to be blown up a lot about it's more what you get and not what you give. So in our house,
yeah.
right before Christmas, we go
yep.
through, the kids go through all their toys and all their clothes and all their stuff that they don't want, and we donate them to Santa Claus so that kids that need the stuff can have them. And it helps
yep.
burden or loosen the load for Santa Claus with the toys that he has to bring to others. So the elves
yeah,
don't have
I,
to work
I
remember, so hard.
I remember when I was a kid, we would all, me and my two brothers, we would always search the house to find out where the presents were hidden. And we knew that they came from our parents, but we still believed in Santa Claus because it was just something that was handed down over the years, you know, and it was
mm-hmm.
talked about. And it was commercialized.
And, you know, everything is always commercialized. But, you know, we always knew, you know, some presents came from our parents, yeah, and some, one special present came from Santa, something that you really wanted. But, you know, like one year at my house, growing up, my grandma's house, she never put the presents underneath the tree until Christmas. because Santa always came. And then the one year, my uncles would go deer hunting, and they thought it was funny because they were all teenagers when I was little. So they thought it was great to hang a deer up that they shot in the garage and paint his nose red. Well, it happened to be we showed up at the house a little early, and my mom didn't call and remind her that we were coming, so the presents didn't get there.
Yeah, yeah.
So my grandma's like, he must have put him somewhere. We got to find him. Well, my uncle's piped up and said, well, Santa didn't come this year because, you know, we got Rudolph here in the garage.
Yes, some of the things about Santa Claus were hard to believe, like him flying through the air in a sleigh with 8 reindeer and landing on top of houses, climbing down through the chimney. And, you know, some of those kinds of things were really hard to believe. But that was part of what I call the commercialization of Santa Claus.
And we called it the imagination. Anything's possible if you believe hard enough.
Yep. It certainly helped in that area.
You know, I got to thank the Air Force especially, because every year they do Santa Tracker. So you can go, they take NORAD, hook it up a certain way, and you could actually get to call in and talk to Santa Claus, his elves. And it's all the Air Force volunteering that day to track Santa Claus.
Yep.
You know, nobody gets paid for it. It's all donated time.
Right. We, the other part was either one of my uncles or my grandfather or my dad would dress up as Santa Claus. We knew it wasn't a real Santa Claus because we knew who they were in the costume, you know. But it was funny, and it was enjoyable to see Santa Claus come to our house, you know.
You know, the other big thing is once your kids figure out Santa Claus ain't there, you have to keep the secret from your little brother and sisters. But making it into, all right, that's you're growing up and making it into the next step of life that you're, you know, getting bigger and better.
But like you said, it did increase the imagination of the children, and it helped in their development. And I think that's good also. Because things that are imagined, eventually, sometimes they turn into reality. And because that's how, like, inventions that scientists create have come from people's imagination and something that they visualize how to do something, how to build a car, how to build an airplane, how to build a spaceship, you know, all those kinds of things. Someone had to imagine that first. In order for it to happen.
Right.
So I think things like Santa Claus also promoted the idea of gift giving and receiving gifts from Santa Claus, you know. But it really didn't come from Santa Claus, but it promoted that in our children's imagination. That's a very good point.
Well, and originally it came from a man named named Nicholas, and he actually became a saint because he would give coal, which here in the United States, that's a bad thing. But back in the day, when the history of Santa Claus is that coal, you needed that for heat. So you got coal as a present because you needed it for heat, and you got kids got small wooden toys that he would make. And it just blew up after that. But they're actually done scientific studies on the benefits of believing in Santa Claus and how it increases the imagination, but it also increases in children the dopamine, the feel-good natural thing.
Yep.
And it also teaches patience and stuff that we don't have a lot of now in kids. The anticipation, the waiting, and all this stuff instead of that instant gratification for everything.
Teaching children the idea of giving gifts to people was also an important aspect of it, I believe.
Oh, it's huge.
Because here's somebody who, they don't even know this person called Santa Claus, but he's giving out gifts to everybody, you know? So I think that was an important aspect of it also, is the sharing and giving aspect of it.
And, you know, putting someone in front of yourself. Now, thinking about someone else. It makes you socially aware. And the sad part is that we're so, only time we're really big about it is the holiday season, because we're reminded about it no matter what you turn on. And we need to continue that on all year round. But, you know, my kids don't pass a red kettle for the Salvation Army without dropping money in it.
Yeah.
It's the only time of year I don't have change, because they know it goes for someone else.
Yep. It's just like the Christmas tree. How many homes around the world have Christmas trees? And they have a certain meaning to people, and they create joy and happiness in the lives of the children. I know we had one of our grandchildren was over at our house where we were putting up our tree this year, and she was just in awe to hang ornaments on the tree and to help us to put lights on the tree and all that kind of stuff, you know. And it was, they get such joy and pleasure out of doing that. And that's very important in the family, I believe, you know.
You know, that's what we talked a lot about last week, was the whole fact about, you know, family traditions and how, you know, doing things as a unit, as a family. Like, we decorate our tree. No, mom puts up the tree and puts the lights on it, but we don't actually put decorations on it until dad and everybody's home. And we do it together as a family.
Yeah.
And mom bites her tongues because, you know, things get dropped.
Yeah, it's amazing. And my wife in the past week has been wrapping gifts, and she has a separate bag for different family members, all wrapped in and put in a bag with all kinds of different colored papers hanging out of the top. But it's a tradition in her family from Colombia, South America, to do this, and it's really it's very beautiful. You see them all stacked on the floor. She put down a cloth that's a different colored cloth, and she's got all these bags sitting on them. You know, dozens of bags. You know, because both of us have a very large family, so.
You know, and that's the one thing I got to give the Spanish or the Latin community about, is that, you know, when I was down in Texas, I spent a lot of time with a lot of my buddies who were Spanish. And so I got to see their traditions, and their traditions are so colorful and so happy and so excited.
Yeah.
And it was
all
about family.
Yep. And, I know Santa Claus is a traditional part of Christmas, but that's really not the reason for the season, and we have to keep that in mind also, what the real reason for the season is, and that's to honor the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, you know, and we try to do that also in our family. A lot of our ornaments that we have on the tree are Christian ornaments that depict some portion of that history. I think that's important also. And I know we're getting away from Santa Claus, but I think that's part of the whole tradition, you know.
And it's, you know, in this day and age, it's all about we forget about that whole aspect of it. You know, I have a nativity, I have a couple nativity scenes, but I have one that I keep up all year. And we just had to explain to my daughter why we take Jesus out and don't put him back in until Christmas.
Yep.
And reminding her, you know, the little steps and stuff like that and the significance of the story and what it's all about.
Yep.
Yeah, and absolutely. We forget about all that aspect, especially with COVID and churches being shut down like they were and trying to get back into that whole going back to church every day.
Yeah.
And all we struggled with finding a church that would accept my kids because they're autistic, because they didn't sit in service properly and would bounce around a little bit or they get overwhelmed and need to walk out.
Yeah, you know, one of the traditions that's been carried on for a number of years is a movie called It's a Wonderful Life. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie, but it's a wonderful movie. And it's generally played a lot around this time of year. One of my good friends, Dr. Joel Griffin, who passed away, but that was one of his favorite movies, and he used to always talk about it. It's a Wonderful Life, and it's just the saying of the name of the movie. It's a Wonderful Life is very, very important. It's a positive message that people can live by. Jimmy Stewart, who played in that, did a wonderful job.
It is. You know, my son actually started watching that movie last night. He found it and started watching it, and then he asked me to get it's called Pure Flex. It's a Christian-based app for movies.
Yeah.
And he's watching a lot of those movies on there, and they have the whole nativity movie. They have the kids version and then they have the adult version, the cartoon, and then he watches the adult one, and he loves that old classic stories.
Yep.
And that's where I give like Kevin Sarbo a lot of credit, because he's bringing all that back.
Yep. So many aspects of it that are important, whether you had on your when you posted your words about whether Santa telling our kids talking to our kids about Santa, whether that's telling a lie, and in a way it is telling a lie, but. It's a good way to, I think, promote gift giving to children, and whether it's a fib or whatever it is, I think it helps in their development, and like you said, helps to build their imagination, and so I think it's important.
You know, and I believe too, it's really important for them to understand lies and truth. But at the same time, how little white lies are a good thing to say, you know, if you don't hurt someone's feelings. You know, someone asks you, if this haircut looks bad, do you really honestly tell them no or say yes? And, you know, or if your kids' drawings, you know, great, you know, you're faking it, but, you know, you're encouraging them, and how lies and are important for good and for bad. And teaching them the difference is huge.
Yep, absolutely.
But it teaches you social interactions, too, and patience. You know, when we went and got our pictures taken with Santa Claus this year, I did the appointment thing over at Cabela's, but it was so lined up, even when they were backed up. But, you know, like I told them, I go, I don't care what you get. Just get a picture. I just need Santa and two kids in a picture. Smiling, laughing, crying, I don't care. Let's just set my standards low.
Yes, there's just a lot of different aspects of Christmas that a lot of people ignore those aspects, and they focus on receiving rather than giving. And I think that it's important to understand, for the children especially, that giving is much more important than receiving. And I think that's one good aspect of Christmas, is that even though it's been totally commercialized over the years, giving is really the important aspect of it, I believe. So
it really is. The giving part should make both people feel good. And like in our house, we started out because my husband works construction, so we couldn't afford presents for like his boss and everybody else. So we started making cookies. Well, this year I didn't get a chance to do it, but normally we do Christmas cookies and different varieties and different things for everybody. And we give them to the garbage man. We give them to, you know, the recycling guys, the mailman, and everybody in the community that we appreciate what they do. Yeah. And, you know, my kids, that's what they look forward to every year, is a month of cookies that showing everybody that we appreciate what they've done throughout the year.
Yeah. I don't want to change the subject, but I do want to mention one thing that I know you're involved with. My friend Gavin Johns, that Derek brought into the whole collection. And I've been communicating with him back and forth for some time, and I sent him a text yesterday about his book that he wrote, Laugh in the Face of Adversity. And I told him it was an amazing book and a great job that he wrote that book for. It's a great example for people to understand that they're not the only one that has problems. You know, other people have problems as well. Look, he's been working for 20 years to try to get into the Major League Baseball, and still isn't successful even after all that time. He's making progress, but he still hasn't accomplished it. And so it just shows a number of different very important messages for people in his book about don't give up. And just if you're having issues that you're dealing with, deal with the issues and find solutions. And he's been doing that for almost 20 years now. And he's had a lot of some physical problems from overworking on his training, and some other types of problems that he's run into over the years. But he's overcome many of those, and he's moving closer and closer to accomplishing that dream, that goal. And so I'm going to be talking with him tonight. We're going to do a conference call, and we're going to be talking to him about some ways that we can help him, because one issue that he has right now is having enough money to do the things that he needs to do to accomplish his goal. And so I'm going to talk to him about that, how we in that area. So I just wanted to mention that to him, because I know you've talked to him a couple of times, and he's a great guy, and I want to help him as much as we can possibly help him.
Yes. Actually, when you do that, do you want to bring me in on that one?
I'm sorry, what?
When you do the conference call, you want to bring me in on that?
It's just going to be him and I talking tonight.
Okay.
And then we may expand it to some other areas as well.
Okay.
So
So coming up in the new year, we're going to revamp some of the shows on the radio, our daily radio show during the lunchtime hour.
Yep.
Mondays will now be everyday heroes. Not all heroes wear capes. We're going to spotlight communities and individuals in different communities on what selfless acts, organizations they developed, things like that, so that people can see, you know, no matter if you live in the middle of nowhere,
right,
you can still make a difference.
Oh, absolutely. You can make a difference. And a lot of what he's gone through have been growth aspects of his, of developing his dream and of accomplishing different things. And he has made some accomplishments, but he hasn't accomplished what he ultimately wants to do. And that's to be a major league baseball player. And he may or may not accomplish that, but he's a firm believer in the Lord, and that the Lord is leading him and guiding him to accomplish what he wants to accomplish. And with that faith, the only thing that's holding him back right now, well, it's not the only thing, but the one thing that's holding him back is he doesn't have the finances he needs to complete that goal. And I'm going to help him with that. I'm going to help him to accomplish that. And that's what I want to talk to him about.
There's Gavin also started Gavin's Global, an organization for kids coaching on how to deal with the pressures and stress of being an athlete in high school
right.
and college.
He's getting more and more into that, and that's good also. What he's doing, he started a number of different coaching and teaching programs for kids in sports, and that's very important to it, and the development of their lives, you know. So, there's a lot going on in his life, and a lot of different aspects of it. But one constraint he has, as I mentioned, is a financial constraint. I believe that that's an area that we can help him with, and we can help him to have some additional income that will help him in the long run, you know, and help him to be able to help other people that he wants to help.
You know, and too, you know, with his other avenues and other businesses, you know, and I was talking to him about it too, and how you don't need a lot of money to expand it and get it going. And it's, you know,
working with the
Hope Collection for starters is a big avenue.
And
I offered to help him with it, because when I started out doing what I did, just coaching, I had no spare money. It was peer-to-pay Paul.
And just
learning how to market and do things online and figuring out the free avenues and the cheap avenues to do things to expand the empire. I went from me coaching to my own developmental center and expand from there.
Yeah, he's doing some helping other people. And I just want to make sure that he understands that the more people he helps and the more people we work with him to help those people, the more it's going to come back to him. I want to make sure that he understands that. And that principle is very important in accomplishing our goals and dreams, because the good Lord wants us to help his people. He says that, help my people, no matter what it is, you help them. And do unto others as you have them to do unto you. So those are very important aspects of the whole proposition and how to find solutions for problems.
Yes. You know, one of the gentlemen that he helps a lot, he's working with Derek right now, who's a regular call-in on the show.
Yeah.
And I don't know if he hasn't been on much during the day. He's coming a lot of nights. But if you've talked to him, you've noticed how he's being able to calm himself down and focus to have an actual conversation now.
Derek is a little bit reluctant to talk on the shows. And I've been working with him on that to try to open him up. And he is opening up some a lot. But he's very reluctant to do that. And And I've taught him how to give out hope cards and to talk to people about that. And he's done very well in that area. Every day he'll call me and say, Bob, I gave out a hope card to so-and-so. And then I talked to him about, what was the response and so forth. And he's learned a lot over the years. You know, with his situation he has, his medical situation, he has, everybody in his family, and I've talked to a number of people in his family, his mother and his father and his aunt, and they all are very negative and say, mm-hmm. he can't do this or he can't do that. And I've talked to him about just the opposite, that all the things that he's accomplished already in his life. The doctor said in the beginning he wouldn't be able to talk. He wouldn't be able to communicate properly with people. He wouldn't be able to drive a car. He wouldn't be able to go to school. He's accomplished all that. And he bought a house. He got married. And, you know, many things in his life. I've known him for years, and he's accomplished many, many things. And he and I have talked about that many times. So, I'm a believer that all things are possible through the Lord. And I talked to him about that too, and understanding that God's in control, and he's the one to ask for help first, and then mm-hmm. he'll bring to us whatever he needs, you know, and he's doing that, and so I've seen him make great progress in things that he's doing that he didn't think he could do in the beginning, you know. So he's been like a project for me, and he's one of the people that
he's just another one of your kids.
What?
He's just one of your kids.
Yeah. And so it's I've learned a lot over the years of having a large family on how to coach children and how to teach them the right things to do in their life, and I'm not bragging. I'm just saying that it's part of my development over the years to do that, and I thank God for the skills He's given me to be able to do that, and I thank Him every day for that, for His blessings and so forth. So I believe
patience.
That those are so important to teach our children. And just like Christmas and all the things that come with it are so important in our children's lives.
You know, the biggest thing like I've learned is just patience.
Yep. And I'm so thankful that you've come into our lives also, Mary. You're just a tremendous asset to the Hope Collection. And you're a giver, not a taker. You're a giver, and you're willing to help people and to give of your abilities and your skills to help other people. And thank you for that. I appreciate it so much.
I enjoy every minute of it. Speaking of which, I now have the sign up form done, and it's posted on the radio show here, and it'll be also on all of our social media sites, so you can get alerts. Text message or email before the radio show, after the radio show, and sign up for the monthly newsletters about what we talked about on our shows every day.
Excellent.
Also, what platform, because we now are on all major podcasting platforms, so you can get a direct link to the show on iHeart or Amazon, Audible, Spotify.
Wow, you're an amazing woman. I wish I could do some of those things, but I'm just not. That's one of the skills that I haven't developed is being able to do some of those kind of things that you do. Sometimes computers and software are not my friends.
Oh no.
And I just haven't I just haven't had the motivation to learn all that stuff, you know.
Hey, you sent me a picture. We've made progress.
Yep.
And I have a picture of everybody so we can, for the new promos, for the show coming up in the new year. Because we're revamping and some of the shows, some of them are going to stay, most of them are going to stay the same. But we're going to also, you know, we have the night show.
Yep.
And it's all for families and teens. And just spreading what we can.
Yep. You know, I used to have a group at AT&T at one time. There was over 50 people in my group that I managed the whole group. And we used to develop large computer systems for AT&T. I learned a lot from that, but I didn't do things like coding and didn't do things like my aspect of it was more leading a group of people that could do those kinds of things. You know what I mean? Computer programmers and systems analysts and all those kinds of people that would do the work, and I would be the manager of them. But anyway, I used to develop training programs out of that. When we would develop a new system, all the people that were going to use that system had to have training on that. So I was responsible for developing within the group, developing the training packages, and then presenting that in group meetings to different organizations around the country. So, but I learned how to do those kinds of things and to do the training of the program after it was completed, help people to be able to use those systems in their daily work. And I enjoyed doing that, but I was not the one who actually developed it. I developed most of the training packages myself. But I had people who did the other work, you know what I mean? So, it was a whole effort. And that's why I'm so excited about the Hope Collection, because there's not one person is doing all the work on the Hope Collection. It's a whole team effort. And that's why it's working, and that's why it's growing. So I'm very, very, very happy about that, and I'm so happy that you've come on board. So thank you, Mary. Thank you so much.
Oh, it's been my pleasure. I learned one good rule, though. Never leave and get a drink during a board meeting.
Yep. I know Ronnie told me you become a board member, right?
I am. I'm a board member, and I work revamping the radio show, getting it up and running, get some things changed, get some wording stuff done, spread it out so that people, you know, I'm working with a new slogan for the radio show.
Okay.
Where there's hope, there's freedom.
Yep. Tomorrow I'm going to do the radio show, and if you can come on and talk about some of those new things that you just mentioned, I would appreciate it. Okay. I know you're usually
on
anyway, so.
I do.
Thank you. See, that's another important aspect of it. You can say, I'm a board member, but if you're not actively involved in doing some things to help the board and to help the whole Hope Collection effort, what's the value of it? You know what I mean? It's better for people that are put in those positions to help out, and that's what we look for primarily when we're looking for new board members or looking for new people to come into the Hope Collection. Like Gavin, I'm very excited about him because he's doing things to help people, and he's interested in helping people, even though he has his own personal goals that he wants to accomplish. He's also helping other people to accomplish their goals. And I think that's so important, you know.
With the Hope Collection, though, it's not about your goals and their goals. It's about how we can help you achieve your goals.
Absolutely. That's what
you
it's
don't
all
give
about.
Up your dreams just about about being with the Hope Collection. It's about how we can help each other out to achieve those goals.
Right, right, right.
It's all
and
about,
understand
you know,
that it's not one person that's doing it all. It's a team that's doing it, and it's different people have different skills. Like you have skills that I don't have, and I probably have some skills that you don't have. You know, I'm very good in the construction field, building houses and doing that kind of stuff. A lot of people don't do that, but I do. I was up 30 feet up in the air on a ladder yesterday helping my son do some work on his house. And I've been doing that quite a bit lately. And because I'm trying to, one, help my son and his family, but I'm also trying to maintain my skills because I believe if you don't use them, you lose them. And
mm-hmm.
so that's why I do that. And I've done that all my life, trying to not only in skill increase my skill sets, but also keep active in them. And that's why I'm still doing this in the Hope Collection in my 80s and still doing this because I love to read and I love to help people. And that's how that I believe that's one of the fundamental ways that we learn is by learn by doing and keep going. I never had anybody. Well, my dad did. He taught me some things in carpentry, but I developed a lot of it by asking other people questions and by people that were skilled carpenters. How do you do this? Or people that were skilled plumbers. How do you do this? Or a lot of times the places where you buy supplies for building supplies and so forth. People there that have expertise. I ask questions. How do you do this? And what do I need to do this? You know, and that's how you develop it. And then read. And then the internet is helping a lot today with people because you can find out almost anything on the internet today. And I do that a lot too. So I've learned that's a skill, by the way, too, is how to do that. So I teach people how to do that. And that's what I've helped Derek with a lot too, is using the internet to help him. And he's doing it much better than I do it today, because he's learned the skills. So anyway, I'm sorry I got off track there, Mary.
You're good. You're good. Nope. I was just thinking about what you said about carpentry. You know, my husband does construction. He's his favorite job is the finisher, the mudding and taping, after all the sheetrock is done. But, you know, when he gets the phone call from me, I'm sorry, but you need to. He automatically knows I tried to fix something. And sometimes it's successful. Sometimes there's duct tape involved. And he gets a little irritated, but.
Yeah. You know, I have I've passed it on to some of my family members as well, working in construction and helping people with to solve their problems in their houses and so forth. I pass it on to my two oldest sons, my son Bob and my son Randy, and both of them are contractors, and both of them have developed some better skills than I have over the years. And that's one of the reasons why I like to work with my sons is because they are doing things today that I never did before in construction. But I can also do things, have certain skills that they don't have. And so we work together as a team. And we're working contractors. We're not like business. We are business owners, but we're not relying on employees to do the work. We do the work ourselves. So I found that that's the best way to learn how to do something is to just get right in there and do it. And my dad mm-hmm. taught me that over the years. My dad taught me, and my mom taught me. My mom taught me things about gardening and growing vegetables and growing plants and planting trees and all those kinds of things and fruit trees and so forth. and how to cook and how to can, how to clean house. All those things I learned from my mom. I learned just tremendous amount of things from my dad. My dad was an alcoholic all of his life and a heavy smoker, and that's what eventually killed him at the age of 70. He could have lived a number of years longer if he wasn't drinking all the time and smoking all the time. But anyway, but he taught me tremendous amount of things, and I think about that all the time. That he taught us boys, it was my two brothers and I, he taught us how to hunt animals out on the farm. You know, and he learned, I don't know where he learned it, but he learned it himself from, I guess, from talking and asking other people, you know. And he taught us how to shoot a gun. He taught us how to raise horses and raise cows and pigs and chickens and all those kinds of things. And how to repair a tractor when it's broke, how to repair whatever machinery we had, how to fix it, a truck. I helped him many times on repairing his truck, and I learned all those kinds of things from him. And I'm just very thankful that the good Lord put me in that family so that I could learn those things from my mom and my dad. And my grandmother and my grandfather, they both helped us boys, too. My one grandmother lived 3.5 years with us, taking care of us boys, while mom and dad went out and worked to make money to pay off the farm that they bought. So, and they did it. They did it in 3.5 years, and they sacrificed a whole lot to do that. And I still own a piece of that property that I bought from my brother. Because my brother bought the farm from my family, and then he lost interest in it, and he passed. I said, "Bob, do you want to buy a piece of the land?" And so I did to help him out because he was going through a divorce. But anyway, I still have 46 acres that I bought from him, and out there. And I love to go out there and just look at the land. It's mostly woods. I have a few 8 acres that a farmer out there farms for me, and he pays me rent for that. So, and that pays all the bills and stuff, so I don't have to worry about that. So anyway, again, I got off the subject. I'm sorry, Mary. Good.
You're good. You're good.
Go ahead.
That's all about Wednesdays. Wednesdays, it's no limits. It's whatever you want to talk about that comes to your mind. Nothing's out of bounds.
That's the good thing about the Hope Collection and the radio show is that when people come on, we don't necessarily have a hidden agenda, or we don't have any kind of ulterior motive that we have to do the show. We're here to help people, and we're here to listen to them and to talk about whatever it is they want to talk about. If they have issues, to help them find solutions for those issues, whatever they are. So that's what I like about it is the fact that we're solution finders and we're coaches and we can help them in any way they need it. And if we don't have the help from ourselves and our background, we can draw on somebody else like yourself to help us. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So there's a lot of different people that we can draw on their expertise and their skills.
You know, and that's the thing is, if we don't know the answer, we will find someone that knows the answer, because there is somebody that knows the answer to the question.
Yep.
Hi, Overton. We're almost out of time for today. You're late.
Somebody came on 559 area.
It's over 10.
I do apologize, you guys. We had a gathering today for just celebration, and I got home really late.
Well, congratulations. Welcome to the call.
Thank you.
So,
Mary's the host
new...
today.
Overton is a regular that comes on the Wednesday shows and sometimes on the Monday shows. And yesterday he made an appearance. He is out of California, the L.A. area, not far from where Len Cain lives. But this is Bob. He's the host of the Thursday show.
It's always a pleasure to speak with you again, Bob.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
As you want to say, it's always a pleasure to hop on, you know, and gain some wisdom. You know, starting to make this my morning routine. You know, just get that little joke to get you through the day. You know.
Yep. Yeah, we're a team of people that works to help other people. That's what we're all about, helping other people and helping them to help other people. So the focus is on them, not on us. I am so glad that the good Lord has put me in this position to help people and to motivate me to have that as a priority in my life. So I think that's what's important.
So we are almost out of time for today. Hey, Overton, can I call you later?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Now that I have your new number, I keep forgetting to write it down. So today we talked about Santa Claus, and if it's bad or good, your opinion on teaching your child about Santa Claus. But we also talked about a lot of things about the Hope Collection and what's new and upcoming with the new year with the radio show. And tomorrow, Bob talks about family, and we'll talk about some more updates about what's going on with the show. Join us tomorrow at noon Eastern time. And don't forget tonight at 6 Eastern, 5 Central is Teen Line, a resource for young adults and teens to be able to call in and talk about what they're struggling with life, school, wherever they may need advice or tools, links, references, whatever you need. And when you call in, the only person that can see the number is the person running the dashboard at the night show, which is me. So then you will be completely anonymous. So feel free to come in and talk, and don't even have to give us your real name. Have a good day. Talk to you tonight. Bye for now.
Thank you, Mary. And God bless you and your family. And God bless all of you. Everybody that's listening, and God bless America. Y'all have a great day. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you.